This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. So a quick poll. I just want to do a quick poll, and I'm just sort of coming up with this at the last minute, so just give me, travel with me here. You can show your hands. You don't have to. I'm not taking a roll call here. But how many of you, and you can either just say to yourself, nod, or however you want to recognize in yourself, how many of you came to church today because you were already up and there wasn't anything else to do? All right. How many of you are here today because it's just something you do on Sunday mornings? How many of you are here today because you couldn't wait to catch up with good friends and figure out how's the family doing? How all y'all? How many of you are coming here today because you're like, thank goodness it's not raining anymore this week? How many of you showed up today coming to church here expecting to be transformed? So the story we hear today of Jesus teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. So I love the way that Mark, our gospel teller that we heard today, Mark is very clear and succinct, and he just carries on this ministry of Jesus very quickly. It's the shortest gospel. He just like, okay, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened. And we encounter Jesus and his disciples, and they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, what'd they do? They went to the synagogue. So when the Sabbath comes, it was Sunday, or Saturday, I suppose, in the Jewish tradition. The Sabbath day of their tradition was Saturday. When the Sabbath came, automatically, they went to the synagogue. Now, my guess is that there were a lot of people there at the synagogue, Jesus and his disciples, and there were probably others who woke up. They said, it's the Sabbath. We should go to the synagogue because this is what we do on the Sabbath. But I wonder how many woke up and showed up at the synagogue expecting what they would encounter that day. When we show up to the presence of God and to worship God, do we actually expect to be transformed? Now, Capernaum wasn't a huge city, right? So the synagogue, while nice and probably fairly well ordained and well built for the synagogues in those days, it wasn't enormous, right? Synagogues were built in a locale where people could walk to them fairly easily because when the Sabbath came, what did you do? You went to the synagogue. And so I imagine as the families woke up that day, and in the traditional Jewish synagogue, there was a space for men, right, and boys, and then there was a space for women. So they were separate in these worship spaces. But as the family got ready to go to the synagogue, because that's what you do on Sabbath, and they made their way down the streets, I wonder if as they approached the door and they walked in, they were expecting to hear someone who taught with authority. Were they expecting to witness a miracle? Were they expecting to be transformed? One of the challenges, one of the beautiful things, and one of the challenges of habits is that sometimes they become rote. This morning, for instance, I have a fairly typical morning routine, and for some reason, I decided to do it differently. I got here late. I was running 15 minutes behind. Everything felt disoriented. I couldn't remember where I put my shirt, what socks I was going to wear. It was awful. And the only difference I made was choosing to make my coffee first instead of brushing my teeth. We get stuck in habits, and they can become rote. And then when those habits are disrupted is when we recognize that we've gotten stuck in a habit. Going throughout the day without even noticing, someone shared with me this morning that they were on their way to church, and they actually went to go pick up their father. when Father was already at church. How often do we show up on a Sunday morning expecting to be transformed? This, I think, is the question that we are asked today in this gospel story. There are many things that we could talk about, but this is the one that kept sticking with me. How often do we show up, we take the effort, we get dressed, we put our pants on or our skirt on, we look nice, right? We're not going to Walmart, we're going to God's house. So we look nice, and we show up, we make the effort. But how many of us show up expecting that God will act right here and right now in your life and transform you in a way that will impact not only the rest of your day, but the rest of your week? That's the desire that God has when you enter into God's house. Now, it's interesting because in first century Capernaum, we find out that there was a man in the back pew. Right, every church has that one in the back pew. There was a man in the back pew who had all kinds of afflictions, of illnesses, and, you know, obviously in first century, they didn't really know what was wrong. They just knew he was out of sorts, right? Probably would blurt things out that may seem inappropriate. And so he stands up, but immediately this man who they saw as unclean, right? Never imagining that him coming to the synagogue might actually be a way of transforming, that knowing, maybe this man knew that going into the synagogue to encounter God and the word of Scripture might be the only thing that could cure him. Hoping and wishing and praying, and it is this person that recognizes Jesus as the Holy One of God before anybody else. This is the power of this story in Mark's gospel, is that it is someone who is considered an outcast that recognizes Jesus as the Holy One of God before anybody else. Now, you can sort of imagine, you know, the whole synagogue turn around. Could you believe that he just said that? Look at him disrupting everything. And Jesus says, be silent and come out. Now, he had already gotten their attention because he was teaching with this idea of authority, right? Now, I have to tell you, as a preacher and as the priest here, there's a lot of pressure on Sunday morning. Can I make it worth their while? Right? I get 10 to 15 minutes. Just give me something that'll make it worth their while. Thank God we have Holy Eucharist, as I always say. Because if the sermon is terrible, at least you get the blood and body of Jesus Christ. But he had already gotten their attention by the way he taught. There was something about the way he taught with knowledge, right? And this is what we encounter with Paul in his letter to the Corinthians. Now, I don't know what was going on in the church in Corinth, but if you read the letters to the Corinthians, they had a whole lot of issues that Paul was continually trying to address. And I don't know what was going on, but they seem really confused. And Paul is trying to tell them, okay, there's a difference between authority and knowledge. Just because you know something doesn't mean you have authority, right? But the interesting thing is in this little section where he's trying to explain this to them, they're all hung up on what they should eat. Now, the idea of being a vegetarian wasn't a thing then, but how many today? Even today, these are ethical questions that we still ask today. See, they're not just some problem that they had long ago. They're trying to decide, well, we were taught that if we ate in this way, that this was how we worshiped God. And Paul's saying, okay, well, that's good that you know that in how you consume and what you consume is a way to show God your appreciation and your reverence, right? But the rules are different now, but it's good that you're still asking those questions. Right? So now we have knowledge. Okay, you have the knowledge that whatever you consume is an ethical choice. Right? We can think about consuming as food or anything else. Whatever we consume is an ethical choice. So we have this knowledge. And then we're called to grow in this knowledge to where we can carry it through. And then it becomes less and less challenging to make those choices because we have allowed God to transform our conscience. How many of you came today to be transformed? And the interesting thing, too, is we have Paul, and they're talking about freedom. There's like, okay, so now we don't have to sacrifice and eat specifically for all these different idols and these different gods. So there's a freedom now that we have been given in Jesus Christ. But, oh, Lord, the choices only get more with freedom. Right? When we grow up and we are become adults, that's what I tell my kids, adulting isn't as much fun as it looks. Because with it comes more freedom. And with more freedom comes more choices. And as Paul says, and with more choices, sometimes we fail. At the same time, it is in Jesus Christ that we are offered this sort of freedom. Let's no longer just look at following the laws as they were listed, but now let's take a look inside and figure out why these rules are important. And so then we also hear from Moses. Now, Moses, y'all, he was old. By this time, he was really, you know, talk about wisdom and authority. He was tired. He had taken these wandering Israelites all over, and I'm sure he heard a lot about how long it took. And he's telling them, look, it's my time is coming to an end. I am no longer going to be the one that shows you. But what we hear is that, you know, the idea of all of these scriptures is that there's this unknowing and that we're given knowledge. So Moses has been passing on this knowledge to the people over and over and over again, and they're recognizing that his time to no longer lead them is coming, and they're worried and they're afraid because they're, oh my goodness, who is going to show us the way? And Moses says, God told me that one of you are going to carry on. God told me that it's going to be one of you. Now, imagine they're all looking at each other, right? And chances are they say, well, we know it's not going to be the guy in the back pew that disrupts the synagogue service. Couldn't possibly be him, right? So starting to pick out, you know, who might be qualified. Well, there's this great phrase that we learned early in seminary. God does not necessarily call the equipped, but equips the called. Now, friends, I hate to break it to you, but you are all called to stand as a prophet for God. Now, when you showed up today, I don't know if that was the heavy burden you felt you were going to leave with. But you are all called in the mere showing up, whether it's because it's just what you do on Sunday, whether you showed up because you knew that something was going to happen, there was an expectation of transformation, regardless of the reason that you chose to come and hear God's word today, you are called by God to be a prophet. But in that call, we are called to understand the difference of knowledge and authority. Now, how many of you know someone, or maybe grew up with someone, maybe a grandmother, mine being one, who knew Scripture, like had it memorized? That's not one of the strengths of the Episcopal Church, so I don't have Scripture memorized, just so you know. Or maybe you grew up in a church or in a home where you did Bible drills, right? You get a little gold star when you memorize those verses. But there was the idea that knowledge, right, that being able to memorize Scripture, to be able to repeat Scripture, to be able to tell, to memorize the prayers, and to do all that, that this knowledge would lead us to transformation. And then how many of us grew into adulthood and we realized that those adults when we were younger that had so much knowledge really had no idea what they were talking about? How many of us became those adults? So again and again, we're taught to be transformed. We're called to be prophets, that God will provide a prophet for us. And that prophet is you. And it may be the person that you least expect. We encounter a God today who is loving and gracious and compassionate and desires for us to have knowledge and to seek knowledge about God. We encounter a God today in the Holy Scriptures of Moses that says, don't worry, I've got this under control. I know that you're upset and you're worried about where you're going to go next. Moses, will you just tell him that we've got this and we're going to get on? That doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We encounter a God in 1 Corinthians that says, I am so delighted that you are worried about showing reverence to me within what you eat and what you consume and following the laws. But listen, don't get bogged down in those details. Food is not what will necessarily bring you closer to God. We encounter a God today in the gospel that is not shy at all about healing the least of these, the most disruptive person in the synagogue, right in front of the scribes. We encounter a God today that says, not only is there knowledge that needs to be had, but there is knowledge and then there is authority. And this is the man I have granted authority in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what kind of scribes they had. The scribes and Pharisees would be sort of like a priest today or a pastor. And we have Mark, and I mentioned Mark is pretty short, right? We have Mark, and we have this one little section that says, well, he was taught, and they liked it. You know, it was like, wow, who is this person? I don't know about you all, but the scribes must have been pretty boring. There's not a lot here to say, man, he just blew that sermon out of the water. There's no joke. But there was something about the way that he engaged with the word that they felt refreshed and renewed and heard it again for the first time. Listen, as the only priest here, Sunday comes every week. Every week Sunday comes, like, oh, dang, Sunday's again tomorrow. But there's something that always happens when Sunday comes. And you all are a part of that. Right? In the Episcopal tradition, if I stand up here by myself and do Holy Communion, nothing happens. Right? It only happens because you all are here. When we invite the Holy Spirit to come and consecrate and make holy this bread and this wine, it only happens because you are here. I cannot do that on my own. So as we enter into today and enjoy the rest of the service, I ask, are you here because you expect to be transformed? The man in the back pew of the synagogue expected something to happen. And I think when we encounter God and we lean into it, God says, that's okay. You can expect great things from me. Amen.